Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
We begin our program with the latest news in United States politics. Kathleen Strzok has more.
For nearly a year, candidates have been telling American voters that they are best qualified to become the next U.S. president. On Monday, voters will have their say in an evening of discussion and debate known as the Iowa Caucus. Monday's caucus in the Midwestern state of Iowa is the first in a series of caucuses and primaries to select a nominee for the Republican and Democratic parties. In the Republican presidential field, businessman Donald Trump expands his lead over the crowded field of candidates. A Fox News poll in Iowa shows Trump leading 23% to 34% above Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. Another poll by CBS News has Trump with a smaller lead over Cruz in Iowa, 34% to 39%. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida is in third place in both polls. Nationally, support for Trump is also increasing, according to a new CNN poll on Tuesday. It shows Trump with the support of 41% of Republican voters across the United States. Cruz is in second place with 19%. On the Democratic side, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont are in a virtual tie among Iowa voters. The CBS poll of Iowa voters shows Clinton leading 46% to 47%. But Clinton still has a large lead over Sanders nationally in the new CNN poll. Her lead is 38% to 52%. Over the weekend, the New York Times reported that former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is considering a run for president as an independent. The paper reported that Bloomberg would run if Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump were the Democratic and Republican nominees. I'm Kathleen Strzok.
Attacks from the militant group Boko Haram are hurting the economies of Chad and Northern Cameroon. Christopher Jones Cruz has the story.
The militants often attack trucks transporting goods to the two Central African nations. Some of the goods come from Borno State in nearby Nigeria. Nafisa Aja works at one of the most popular stores in N'Djamena, the capital of Chad. She says she was not paid last month. She adds that the store has not received supplies from Borno State for several months. Business is slow because of attacks on the store's supply trucks. Tukba Haman is a truck driver. He says he no longer goes to Nigeria for supplies because Boko Haram targets trucks and kills drivers. Abdul Saeed is a customs official in Chad. He says Boko Haram attacked trucks last Saturday in Gambaru, a Nigerian town on the border with Cameroon. He says Boko Haram fighters have attacked and seized many vehicles in the past 2 weeks. He says recently, the militants seized 3 trucks carrying goods to northern Cameroon and N'Djamena. The Chadian capital is less than 50 kilometers from Borno State, an area currently under the control of the Islamist group. Many goods arriving in Chad and northeastern Cameroon are shipped from Maiduguri in the center of Borno State. Abba Kabir is a member of Cameroon's National Assembly. He says the economies of northern Cameroon and Chad are suffering because the militants control roads in Nigeria. Simple goods and manufactured products like telephones and farming tools enter Chad on these roads. He says if Boko Haram continues to control the border roads, economic activity will continue to be paralyzed in Chad, northern Cameroon, and parts of northeastern Nigeria. He says he and others want the military to stop the attacks. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
On Thursday, the president of Taiwan visited a disputed island in the South China Sea. Jim Dresbach has more.
President Ma Ying-jeou flew on a military aircraft to Ituaba, a disputed island also known as Taiping Island. About 200 people live there. Some are members of Taiwan's Coast Guard. The other people are mainly medical workers and scientific researchers. Ma returned to Taipei Thursday night. His visit again brings attention to the major territorial dispute in the South China Sea. Taiwan has developed Taiping Island, a land formation in the Spratly Islands. Taiwan has set up a Coast Guard base with solar energy projects there. The medical workers are available to help crews from ships that pass through the waterway. President Ma emphasizes that Taiping Island is an inherent territory of the Republic of China, said a presidential spokesman. The Republic of China is Taiwan's legal name. 5 other governments claim all or part of the South China Sea. Ma's trip comes while China continues to develop other islands there with landfill materials. Vietnam has built man-made islands in the sea. Brunei, Malaysia, and the Philippines also claim parts of the area. Taiping Island is 1,600 kilometers from Taiwan. The island is less than a square kilometer in area and has been used mainly as a Coast Guard base. The Reuters News Service reports that Taiwan just completed a port improvement project and built a new lighthouse on the island. Wednesday, the U.S. State Department called the Taiwanese leader's trip unhelpful to easing disputes in the South China Sea. Ma called the trip to Taiping one of his biggest personal successes while president. He must leave office in May because of term limits. I'm Jim Dresbach.
Next, Katie Weaver gives us the latest news in the world of cybersecurity.
A new report says businesses around the world are not keeping up with the new and increasingly tricky methods of cybercriminals. The international technology company, Cisco Systems, released the report. It says businesses are trying to prevent cybersecurity breaks using old technology and policies. However, the report also says the increased threat is creating many new jobs for those able to help defend computer systems. The report describes major mistakes businesses have made in trying to stop attacks. It said there was a 10% recent drop in updates to security measures among businesses. Cisco examined 115,000 devices. It said 92% of them had security weaknesses in their software. Jason Brevnik is a top Cisco engineer. He told VOA that computer criminals will attack any system, whether it is owned by a company or an individual. He said criminals will work together to target a computer system to try to steal information. Brevnik said companies are beginning to use defensive measures that watch over their computer systems continuously. He said that helps them know if they are being attacked and quickly answer such attacks. He said many companies currently do not discover attacks until 100 or more days after they happen. He said new programs are able to identify attacks within hours. Cisco says it is able to identify attacks on its systems within about 17 hours. The fight against computer criminals is creating many jobs. Tara Sinclair is the chief economist at the jobs listing website Indeed.com. She says computer attacks have caused a large increase in the need for computer security experts. She says companies need workers who can protect them from attacks. Cisco estimates 1 million people are needed to fill cybersecurity jobs. The company Symantec is the largest seller of security software in the world. It says the number of people needed for computer security jobs will grow to 1.5 million by 2019. Cisco's Jason Brevnik said universities are working to train students for the growing cybersecurity market. He said 90% of the universities Cisco studied for its report offer cybersecurity training. I'm Katie Weaver.
Jim Tedder tells us about several Egyptian museum workers who face criminal charges for breaking the mask of a well-known Egyptian king.
Eight Egyptians may go to trial for their bad repairs on the gold mask of ancient King Tutankhamun. Known as King Tut, the ancient king's famous golden burial mask was damaged by museum workers in 2014. News reports said that Egyptian prosecutors allege the employees of Cairo's Egyptian Museum dealt recklessly with the mask. The well-known object is 3,300 years old. Reports say museum workers accidentally broke the blue and gold braided beard off the mask while fixing a light in its case. The staff then glued the piece back onto the young pharaoh's burial mask with a lot of epoxy, a type of glue. It left a ring of glue around the edge of the beard that could be seen clearly. When workers tried to remove the ring of glue, they made fine scratches or marks on the mask. German Christian Eckmann was brought in as the lead restoration specialist. The damage to King Tut's mask has since been repaired by Ekman and his team. It was put back on in its place at the museum last month. Reports say the fine scratches cannot be seen by most people. The New York Times reported the German experts carefully removed the epoxy and restored the solid gold mask using beeswax, the adhesive used by the ancient Egyptians. Investigators want to know how the beard came off and why the workers used too much epoxy. The former museum director and former head of restoration are two of the eight people facing charges. The charges include negligence and violating professional and scientific rules. The accused officials have been suspended from their jobs, but will not go to prison, said the New York Times. However, they could lose those jobs and have to pay large fines. The mask and other items related to the famous pharaoh bring many tourists to Egypt and Cairo's Egyptian Museum. The museum houses ancient Egyptian objects and mummies. The mask is one of the best-known pieces in the museum. Monica Hanna is an archaeologist and a member of Egypt's Heritage Task Force. She told the New York Times that the museum has become increasingly neglected in recent years. There's been a shift in the people working there, she told the New York Times. The experienced people have retired, and the new ones do not have adequate training. A new museum called the Grand Egyptian Museum, near the famous pyramids, is behind schedule for its opening. Another museum, the National Museum of Egyptian Civilization, is finished, but not yet open to the public. British archaeologists discovered King Tut's tomb in 1922. It was a great find. Unlike many other royalties' tombs, the burial room had not been touched since King Tut died more than 3,000 years ago. The discovery made King Tut famous. Objects from his tomb have traveled around the world. It gave people the chance to see the ancient pieces up close. But in recent years, Egypt's all-important tourism has suffered badly. It started with the unrest after President Hosni Mubarak's fall in 2011. Then there has been more unrest in 2013 after the military took over the government. Tourists have been attacked by Islamist extremists. Last October, a suspected bomb brought down a Russian airliner near a Red Sea resort, killing 224 people. However, interest in ancient Egypt increased recently. British Egyptologist Nicholas Reeves said he believes that the tomb of Queen Nefertiti may lie behind a wall in King Tut's tomb. Researchers are still working to find out if the famous queen was buried there or not. I'm Jim Tedder.
This is what's trending today. The Barbie doll has been a part of American culture for more than 50 years. Tall, blonde, and blue-eyed, the doll became a symbol of the all-American girl. But in recent years, critics targeted the doll. Social commentators said Barbie was not a good representation of what women do or should look like. The toy company that makes Barbie made some changes over the years. For example, it widened Barbie's waist in more realistic proportion to the rest of her body. But that apparently was not enough for consumers or critics. So on Thursday, the manufacturer announced three new Barbie body types. Time magazine reported the story. Mattel describes the new dolls as tall, petite, and curvy. The dolls will also represent different ethnicities, with a range of skin colors and hairstyles. Lots of people commented about the news on Twitter and Facebook. Some people were excited to see the changes. Geek Girl Diva tweeted, "The curves are cool. I'm way more stoked about the hair color." Another Twitterer, Maura Branigan, posted, "Welcome to the 21st century, Barbie." But others were not as excited about the news. They say people should not get so worked up about a toy. Facebook user Michonne Martin posted, "I never saw anything negative about her body or standards. She's a fictitious piece of plastic." And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
We end our program with this week's lesson in everyday grammar. Jill Robbins and John Russell tell us how to improve our writing using words that connect opposing ideas.
For VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. Today, we are going to talk about words that connect opposing ideas. We call these ideas contrast or concession. Some of these adverbs are but, although, however, and despite. These words will help you communicate more complex ideas. They will improve the flow and clarity of your writing. Let us begin by understanding the differences between contrast and concession. Here are two examples.
I used to live in Malaysia, but now I live in Thailand. Even though I live in Malaysia, I work in Thailand.
The first example shows a simple contrast. The first sentence, "I used to live in Malaysia," indicates my previous place of residence. The second part of the sentence, "but now I live in Thailand," shows that I now live in another place. The statement contrasts these two different places, the one where I used to live and the one where I live now. In the second example, "even though I live in Malaysia," tells you where I live now. But this sentence contains a surprise for my readers. I work in Thailand. When the opposing idea is something readers do not expect or that surprises them, we call it concession.
Let us start with but, the most common way to show contrast. But is a coordinator. We use it to connect ideas that are more or less of equal value. Here are some examples.
The students were tired after the test, but were happy with their results. Some refugees have found new homes, but others are still living in camps. Luca tried to solve the math problem for 2 hours, but he could not find the answer.
In the second and third examples, notice that the conjunction but connects two independent sentences or clauses. In this case, we use a comma before but. A more formal way to say but is however. Consider the examples.
We really wanted to go to that concert. However, we could not afford the tickets. Car prices went up fast. However, motorcycle prices are still the same.
In these examples, you can replace however with nevertheless or nonetheless. The idea will remain the same. However and nonetheless can make your sentences more formal. You have some options for punctuation. You could write, "I am tired,"
period.
However,
comma,
"I will finish the job." Or you could write, I am tired,
semicolon,
however,
comma,
I will finish the job. The semicolon is a punctuation option to connect two independent clauses that are closely related. It is up to the writer to decide whether to use a period or a semicolon.
Although and even though are two common adverbs to express unexpected results or surprises, they are subordinators, adverbs that show that one idea is more important than the other. Here are some examples.
I managed to fall asleep, although we were watching an action movie. Although we were watching an action movie, I managed to fall asleep.
In both sentences, the subordinating conjunction although is attached to the clause that contains the less important idea. Although we were watching an action movie cannot stand alone as a sentence. It is a subordinate clause. If the subordinate clause comes first, we must separate the two by using a comma. If the subordinate clause comes second, there is no comma. Here are two examples with even though.
These students already know how to read, even though they are still in kindergarten. Even though these students are still in kindergarten, they already know how to read.
Though is less formal than although and even though. It is more common in spoken English. Here are some examples.
Though Indra waited for almost an hour, his doctor never showed up. Indra's doctor never showed up, though he waited for almost an hour.
To make your sentence even more conversational, you can move though to the end.
Indra waited for almost an hour. His doctor never showed up, though. In spite of and despite are also subordinators to show unexpected results. They also come attached to the subordinate clause. However, they require a different sentence structure. Consider the examples.
That man has saved a lot of money in spite of earning a small salary. That artist is very creative despite having limited resources.
In these examples, in spite of and despite are followed by a gerund. A gerund is the ing form of a verb, which functions like a noun. In the sentences above, earning a small salary and having limited resources are gerund phrases. Despite and in spite of can also be followed by noun phrases.
My brother has managed to save a lot of money in spite of his small salary. That artist is very creative despite her limited resources.
His small salary and her limited resources are noun phrases. In spite of that can also be used to indicate contrast or concession, but it works as a coordinating conjunction. Therefore, it is used to connect two independent clauses. For example,
most students had understood the explanation. In spite of that, the teacher wrote a few more examples. It rained for almost 3 hours nonstop. In spite of that, the ground is already dry.
The best way to master these transition words is to make up a few sentences of your own. After you start practicing, you will naturally begin to remember when and how to use these words more accurately. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.